We are holding on Ein Ches Amud Beis, three lines from the bottom. We learned in the Mishnah about a case where you have a ditch between two chatzeres. So we said if the ditch is at least 10 tefachim deep and 4 wide, then it divides the chatzeres. The fact that it's 10 deep is deep enough to be considered a mechitza. Unlike with a wall where we said it doesn't matter how thick the wall is, here, if the ditch is less than 4 tefachim wide, then it's easy to step over, so it doesn't divide the two chatzeres, one from the other. But if you have, if it's 4 tefachim wide, where then it's not as easy to step over, then it divides the chatzeres, and therefore they can't make a joint eruv unless the ditch is partially, unless the ditch is partially or completely filled in. So we said a couple of possibilities. Actually, we said one possibility is that the ditch is filled in with something. Hello. So then we have either it's filled with we said if it's filled with straw, then that's not good because you would have to be mevatel it there. Otherwise, the straw could be removed on Shabbos, and therefore doesn't amount to a bittul of the ditch. On the other hand, we said if it was full of dirt or rocks, then it's good. And we're going to see in the Gemara now, are we talking about whether you were mevatel it or not? Then the Mishnah continued where you have cases, you have other ways where you can be where you can make an eruv despite the ditch. One of them being, we said, if we put a board across the ditch to serve as like a bridge from one side to the other. So the Gemara is first going to focus on this that we said. So we said again that straw apparently doesn't take away the status of the ditch, even though we're going to learn in the next Mishnah about straw forming a mechitza. So we said that Abaye had explained in the Gemara that it's one thing for straw to make a mechitza. It can, as long as the straw is there, as we're going to see soon. But it's another thing for it to take away, to be choitzit, to remove the airspace that's in the pit. Then you need to be mevatel it in order to do that. So the Mishnah had said molay offer that if this ditch is full of dirt or rocks, then the ditch is bottle, and then if the whole ditch is full, then the Mishnah had said you have to make one joint eruv together because you're like one chatzer. If part of the ditch is full, meaning only part of its length, then you would have the usual thing. If it's a minimum of, if it's anywhere from 4 tefachim until 10 amos, including 10 amos, wide of where the ditch is closed, where the ditch is blocked with the dirt and whatever, then you have your choice of making one or two eruvin, because that's the equivalent of having a doorway between one chatzah and another. And if it's more than 10, then again we're back to if the part of the ditch that's closed up is more than 10 tefachah, with more than 10 amos of the length of the ditch, then like we said before, then the two chatzeros are considered in effect one, and you have to make one eruv. So the Gemara asks, "Vafilu b'stama." So you're telling me that even if the dirt or rocks are just their stem, without even, we don't even know whether you plan to take it away, still we're saying as long as it's there, the ditch is bottle. V'hatnan, we learn in a Mishnah in Olos. Now we have like this: when it comes to dinei tumah v'tara, we know that you have a din that if a mess is not under an oil being defined as an area one by one by one tefach or larger, one cubic tefach or larger, then the tumah is confined within the oil, which would mean, therefore, for example, if you were to place a keli on top of that oil, it wouldn't become tamei. On the other hand, everything within the oil becomes tamei. On the other hand, if you don't have an oil tefach over there, then what happens is we say tumah b'kas v'oila b'kas v'yeredes. The tumah just goes straight up and straight down. Meaning, if you have a keli directly above the mess, then the keli is going to become tamei no matter how high up above the mess it is, and similarly below it. And it also, on the other hand, it means that kalim that are near the mess inside, let's say you have a pile of dirt there, as we're going to say the example. So kalim that are elsewhere in the pile of dirt, not directly above or below the mess, are not going to become tummy. So the Mishnah says, "Bais shemilohu tevenetz roris," a house that you filled with straw or with rocks, or bitloy, sure, it's actually small rocks like gravel, whatever, or bitloy, and then you mevatel them. You said, I don't plan to clear this out of the house, bottle. then it's batel. So now, in other words, now it's considered like a solid thing. You have no oihel over there. So therefore, so again, the tumah of the mess is going to go directly up and down, but not to the sides, implying bitloy ein loy bitloy loy, implying only if you were mevatel it, not if you weren't. Now, we mentioned over here rocks, our Mishnah mentioned gravel as well as dirt, but pashtus, the same din applies to both of them. So then we're saying in that Mishnah that only if you're mevatel it in place, only then is it batel, but not otherwise. So why in our Mishnah is it implying that if you have dirt or gravel in the choritz, then automatically it's batel? So my answer is Amar Rav Huna, man tana olos Rav Yosi. So Rav Huna answers, the tana of the Mishnah in olos is Rav Yosi. Now, how does Rav Huna know that? Rashi and Tosfos both explain, Rav Huna knew that Rav Yosi talks about something in connection with this din, about whether you need to be mevatel or not. He thought, therefore, that a way of answering it would be to say that the Mishnah in olos goes according to Rav Yosi, and our Mishnah goes according to a different tana, probably Rav Meir. But the question is, if you're going to tell me the Mishnah in Olos is according to Rabbi Yossi, on the contrary, we find Rabbi Yossi saying exactly the other way around. Netanya, as we learn in a Braisa in connection with that Mishnah, Rabbi Yossi Omer, that Rabbi Yossi says no, he disagrees with that Mishnah. Teven ve'en osed lefanoi. So if the house where the mess is full of straw, and you don't ever plan to clear out the straw, hareo kestam offer, then it's considered just like stam dirt, or bottle, and then it is bottle, and therefore the tumor only goes up and down, but not to the sides. Off of osid lefanoise. On the other hand, if he fills it up with dirt, where dirt, you would have more reason to be mevatel it over there, unlike straw, which you could feed to animals or whatever. But for osid lefanoise, but he does eventually plan to clear out the dirt. Hareo kestam teven, then it's like a regular case with straw. Veloy bottle, and it's not bottle. In other words, Rabbi Yossi is saying it depends strictly on whether you plan to clear it out or not. So offer, we would assume that by default offer is bottle. By default, teven straw is not bottle, but with each one, you can have in mind that you're going to be mevatel it or not going to be mevatel it, and it makes a difference. So how can you say the Mishnah in Olos is like Rabbi Yossi if we see Rabbi Yossi disagreeing with it? And the Mishnah over there is saying that even with gravel, you have to be mevatel. We don't say like stam dirt that it's just automatically bottle. Ela Amar Rav Asi mantana eruvin Rav Yosi. So rather, Rav Asi says you're right. We know now that Rav Yosi has a different opinion about it than the Chachamim. Okay, so our Mishnah goes according to Rav Yosi. So our Mishnah, when it says that, when it says Molei offer its roiras, fine, Rabbi Yossi is saying, Mistam, if you don't know one way or the other what he plans to do with the offer of the roiras, the default is that it is bottle. Only if he explicitly says, I plan to, or does some mice or says whatever it is that he plans to clear out the dirt, only then is it not bottle. Same thing in our Mishnah, then the ditch is full of dirt. The ditch is full of dirt or gravel. Unless he says otherwise, we assume he never plans to clear it out. Therefore, it connects the two chatzeres back together. On the other hand, with straw, the default is to assume that straw he will remove. And therefore, as the Mishnah said, straw is not mevatel the ditch unless he's actually mevatel it there. So they're actually, okay, so Aaron, so you're referring to the case that we had previously involving Mechuzah, where you had pits in the ground, right, where you had pits in the ground. Those actually were filled with date pits that were being used to feed the animals. The question over there basically was, given that people don't walk over those ditches because they're too wide, the question was, so how do we make an eruv for the city? And we said that they made an eruv neighborhood by neighborhood, each neighborhood by itself. So it's not so much, I mean, it's not so much that the ditches served as halachic mechitzas, it's just they served practically speaking as mechitzas because nobody crossed over them. Yeah. Okay. Rav Huna Bered Rav Yeshua Amar. Rav Huna Bered Rav Yeshua gives a different answer. You don't have to say that You don't have to say that our Mishnah or the Mishnah in Allahs contradict each other and say that one of them is according to Rabbi Yossi. Rav Huna bar Rav Shlomo, Tumah Shabbos Karamis. Are you trying to point out a contradiction between the case involving Tumah and our Mishnah involving Shabbos? Hanach Isur Shabbos, set aside the Isur of Shabbos. It's a special case. Dafilo Anaki Nami Mevatel Inish. On Shabbos, even if a person has a purse full of money, they're Mevatel it in the sense that they know they can't move it on Shabbos. Dut is muktza on Shabbos. So even leaving aside the question whether you plan to be mevatel there permanently, just the fact that it's dirt or it's rocks which are muktza, they're muktza machnas gufoy, that itself makes that you can't move them on Shabbos, and therefore, on the other hand, straw you could use to feed the animals. Exactly. So therefore, right. So that's a reason to distinguish. In all this, we're not talking about dinim of Shabbos. So there you can talk about will you actually mevatel the contents of the house or not. But here, automatically on Shabbos, anything that's mukta is bottle in place for the rest of Shabbos. Rav Ashi gives a different answer. Bayis achor. It's karamis. Never mind that. How are you trying to bring a contradiction between a case of a house that's filled up with straw or with dirt versus a ditch that's filled up with one of them? Bishlema choretz lemitaimekoi. When you have a ditch, the expectation is that you're going to close it up at some point. You're not going to leave the ditch there permanently. What would be the purpose of having a ditch between two chatzeres? So therefore, eventually, you plan to fill it up. So therefore, in this case, it got filled up with dirt. So therefore, we can assume you mevatel it. Ela bayis lemitaimekoi. A house. Well, in other words, you don't have to be mevatel the dirt. Even we could say that stam. Well, we say you just want it there. So even stam, even if you didn't specify one way or the other, we can assume you're happy to have the dirt stay there, as opposed to aval ela bayis lemitam yakoi. But a house is not something that you wouldn't normally expect that a house is going to be filled up, that is going to be filled up with dirt or whatever and stay that way permanently. But pashtus, eventually you plan to empty it out. So therefore, by default, we would assume that you plan to empty it out, and that's why the Mishnah says over there only if bitloy, only if you explicitly said or thought at least or whatever that you plan to be mevatel there, then we would say that's different than the default. But otherwise, the default would be we would assume at some point you're going to clear it out, and then it's going to go back to being an oil, and therefore even now it would be considered an oil even before you cleared it out. We said in the Mishnah, Nasin Olav Neser Sharoich of Dalid. We said another scenario is how you can be mevatel the ditch and make it that you're not totally mevatel, but make it that you can make a joint eruv between the chatzeres on the two sides of it. We said you can place across it a board which is at least four tefachim wide, and again that board is you use it as a bridge from one side to the other, and the result is that now you have a pesach, you have a doorway from one side to the other of the ditch. Amar Rava. That applies that we're saying you need four tefachim wide only applies if you placed it along the width of the ditch. Like we said, you placed it as a bridge across the ditch with one end on each side. But if you place it along the length of the ditch, then afilu kol shehunami, then it doesn't even need to be four tefachim wide, shani miyate midalad. Because now what you do, as Rashi describes, you have, let's say, for example, you put in some nails or pegs or supports or whatever on the inside of the ditch, right by the edge. Then you place this board on top of them. Here's a picture of it. So the result is, therefore, now the ditch at that point is less than four tefachim wide, because the whole ditch to begin with was only four. Now you have a board over there that's, let's say, one tefach wide, and now what's left is only three tefachim wide. So we don't care therefore how narrow that board is, as long as it extends a width of four, as long as it extends a length of four tefachim along the length of the ditch, and that works. One thing, by the way, it does mention in Shulchan Aruch is in all these cases, you would have to have the board nailed in place, because otherwise it could be removed on Shabbos. And we've already said before that something you can remove on Shabbos doesn't count. It could be so heavy that you can't lift it, but yeah. Okay. We said, V'chein shtei gzus terois zu keneged zu. Then we said also the same thing applies to two porches, one opposite the other. Now, according to most of the Rishonim, Rashi and most other Rishonim, What we mean is to compare the porches with the ditch in two ways. Number one, that if they're less than four tefachim apart, that they have to make a joint eruv. And number two, that if they're more than four tefachim apart, that you can put a board between one and the other and be able to make a joint eruv. Tosfos disagrees with that last point and says that actually that the only comparison between them is the difference of whether they're four tefachim apart or not. If the two porches are less than four tefachim apart, then they have to make one joint eruv. Otherwise, they would have to make two separate eruvim. But according to Tosfos, there's no such thing as joining them together with a board. And different Rishonim talk about why should that be. Why should that be? One point is that Tosfos may take the view people aren't going to want to walk on a board between porches where there's a real chance that they're going to fall down and they're going to fall off the board into Rosh HaSarabim. So therefore, we can't necessarily say that would be considered a Pesach between them, unlike when you're talking about a board over a ditch where there's no real concern that you're going to fall in. You also have within the explanation that we're talking about porches that both the four tefach thing and that you can join them with a board, you further have, as we said yesterday, machlokas between Rashi and Rabbeinu Yohanan, where are these porches located? Rashi learns that they're located next to each other on the same side of the street. And Rabbeinu Yohanan says that they're talking about across the street from each other. Because as we learned in Masechta Shabbos, two porches next to each other on the same side of the street, d'oraisa, you're not allowed to bring something from one to the other. So how can we be talking about making an eruv between one and the other? An eruv doesn't work where you're not allowed to carry d'oraisa. And an eruv only works where you have an issue d'rabbanan. So an eruv chatzeres, that is, we're talking about. So therefore, we have to... Because we said that's on the face of it, because we learned in Shabbos you had the way the wagons were arranged in Rosh Hashanah when they were loading up the boards, where you had one wagon in front of the other, and they pass one board from one levy to another along the length of the two wagons, and therefore that's the equivalent of two porches on the same side of the street, as opposed to when the porches are on the opposite side of the street. So then we said that. Since bringing things from one to the other is not exactly the same way as they did it in the Mishkan, then it's also only Dirabanan. Also only Dirabanan. Good. Well, then you can make an Eruv Chatzeres. Okay. Excuse me. So the Gemara says, "Amar Rava, Hod Amrit Zu Keneged Zu Ein Zu Shalai Keneged Zu Lai." This that we're saying that it only works so Agoyes Habach corrects the wording of the Gemara that the Mishnah is telling us about the Shtei Gezuz Terois would only be if there's Zu Keneged Zu, one opposite the other. Zu Shaloi Keneged Zu Loi, but not if they're not opposite each other. Now here you have a number of explanations what that means. Rashi says that it means that one sticks out into Rosh Hashanah more than another one. So that leads to a couple of different ways of explaining Rashi. It can mean that the fronts of the houses are even, but you have one of them sticks out 5 feet, let's say, and the other one sticks out 10 feet. So that would be... So Zush Keneged Zu would mean that they're both 5 feet wide, let's say, and Zushala Keneged Zu would mean one is 5 feet wide, one is 10 feet wide, but they both start out at the same point. Another way of understanding Rashi is that the fronts of the houses themselves stick out into Rosh Hashanah in different amounts. So you have, let's say, in other words, so one porch ends before the other one even begins in terms of how far over Rosh Hashanah it sticks. According to Rabbeinu Yohanan, that we're talking about porches across the street from each other, then Zushalai Keneged Zu mean exactly what it sounds like, means that you have that one of them, that you have, let's say they're across Kingston Avenue from each other, and one of them is a little further towards the beginning of the block, and one of them is a little further towards the end of the block. So that wouldn't work. That then we wouldn't say these rules about four tfachim, and according to those rishonim who hold that you can use the boards, we wouldn't say that. And the Rashba points out a logical reason why wouldn't you be able to use a board, leaving aside Tosa's opinion that you can never use a board. We would say even if you could use a board when the two of them are next to each other or exactly opposite each other, fine. People may be willing to take the chance and cross over on the board as long as it's nailed in place or whatever. But what we have in a case like that, you would have to go diagonally from one porch to another. And we've already learned before that Pesach bekenen zavis like avdi inchi, an opening is not made in the corner of an area. So therefore, it would have to be straight across. And here you don't have it. But he continues, vizula maila mizud nami layamaran. Now, also, the two of them have to be one not higher than the other. If one of them is three or more tfachim, if one of them is higher than the other one, then it's also no good. You also can't join them together in one eruv. And lo yamoran ela sheyesh ben zelazesh shloisha tfachim. That would only apply if the difference in height is more than three tfachim. Aval ein ben zelazesh shloisha. But if you have less than three tfachim difference in height between one and the other, then Rashi learns we're not talking about height. Rashi learns that ben zelazesh shloish tfachim means if there's less than three tfachim horizontally between one and the other, which means, in other words, Rashi says, even if we're talking about these examples that we just said, for example, where one sticks out more than the other because it's wider, or one sticks out more because the house that it's attached to sticks out further, that would only be if the difference between them is less than three tfachim. And you connect one to the other, it has to be less than three tfachim. So not only vertically, but also horizontally. Aval, ein ben, zelazesh, shloisha. But if you have less than three tfachim between one and the other, then it's okay. You can make a joint eruv because gzuz tera akuma. Then in effect, it's only a curved gzuz tera. And that would be fine, and therefore you'd be able to do it. So according to Rashi, here are examples of. According to Rashi, Ein Ben Zelazesh Shloisha again means that, for example, the end of this porch and the beginning of the next porch next to it are less than three tefachim apart. According to Rabbeinu Yohanan, that we're talking about across the street, we're talking about where one of them is towards one end of the block, one of them is towards the other, but the places where they're closest together are less than three tefachim apart. Less than three tfachim apart, then you could join them together with a board and make an eruv. And the same thing, if there were less than three tfachim difference in height, same thing, you could put a board between them and make an eruv. Again, according to Tosfos, nothing with boards applies. According to Tosfos, we're talking strictly the question of whether these porches are four tfachim apart or not. If the space between one and the next door, according to Rashi, across the street, according to Rabbeinu Yohanan, is less than four tfachim, then it's easy to step over from one to the other. Therefore, they have to make a joint eruv. If they're more than four tfachim apart, then if there's zusha loik neged zu and they're more than three tefachim distant one from the other, then never mind boards, then you can't make an eruv between them, period, because even though the distance between the end of one and the end of the other is less than four tefachim across the Rosh Hashanah, let's say, but the space between the end of one and the beginning of the other is more than three tefachim horizontally, and that's no good. Okay. Mishnah says, Matben Sheben Shtei Chatzeres. If there is a haystack between two Chatzeres, so it separates the entire, it goes along the entire length from one wall to the other, to the opposite wall, and divides the two Chatzeres one from the other, Gavoya Asara Tfachim, and this haystack is 10 Tfachim tall, Ma'arvin Shnaim, Bein Ma'arvin Echad, then they have to make separate Eruvin. They can't make a joint Eruv because they have a Mechitza between them, as we've said before. But continues the Mishnah, Eilu Machilin Mikan, Ve'elu Machilin Mikan. Now, both sides are allowed to have their animals eat the straw. We're not concerned that they might eat so much of the straw that it might reduce the height to less than 10 tfachim by a distance of 4 tfachim or more. Or actually, if it was only 4 tfachim, you wouldn't have a problem. Still, fine. You know, each one's eruv would still be valid for themselves. The problem would only be if the haystack was reduced to less than 10 tfachim high for a distance of more than 10 amos. if animals are eating from it. Rashi says the animals don't eat that much on one Shabbos that you should have to be concerned about that. So therefore, we don't have to worry about it, and they can both eat from both sides. If the straw is reduced in height throughout the whole chatzah, or 10 amas or more, it's less than 10 tefachim high, then they have to make one eruv. They can't make a joint. Then they have to make one eruv. They can't make separate eruv anymore, because then they're in effect one chatzah. Okay, so the Gemara says, Omer Rav Huna, Ovil vad shelo yitin l'seich kuposei v'yachil. So Rav Huna says, this that we're saying, you're allowed to have your animals eat from the straw, you're not allowed to put it into a basket and feed the animals. Rashi gives two reasons for it. When the animal is eating by itself, then as we said, it's only going to eat a little bit at a time. So there's less of a concern that the mechitza is going to be nisbatol during Shabbos. But if you take the straw and put it into a basket to feed your animal, then there's a real concern you might take so much that the mechitza no longer exists. People aren't going to realize, and they're going to continue to carry in the chotzer, not realizing that now they can't because the original separate eruv they made are no longer valid, because now they need to make one big eruv for the chotzer. That's Rashi's first explanation. The second explanation Rashi says is the straw is mukta, because you designated it, you're going to use it for this mechitza. So therefore, you can't pick it up with your hands to put it into a basket, but the animal can eat from it by itself. Now, we did learn before, much earlier in the Masechta, we learned that Rav Huna himself says the concept that a Shabbos hayover hutra hutra, that once it was mutter at the beginning of Shabbos, it's mutter for the rest of Shabbos. So the Rishonim ask, according to Rav Huna, what's the problem? Even if you did end up taking away so much of the straw that the mechitza no longer exists, what's the problem? They should be able to carry there for the rest of Shabbos. So there's a few different answers. One of them is taka for that Shabbos, it might be mutter, but they might not realize for next Shabbos that the din has changed. Another point is the Rashba brings is maybe only b'dieved. If the mechitza no longer exists, b'dieved, you can still rely on the fact that it was there at the beginning of Shabbos. But you can't l'chatchila go and take it down. You have a couple of other answers. In short, the Alter Rebbe also points out in Shulchan Aruch, I mean, when you get down to it, taking straw off it, aside from the points that Rashi is mentioning about that you might take off too much and that it's mukta, you may also have the problem where you're tearing down a mechitza, which itself is a malacha on Shabbos. So you have to consider that. You have to consider that as well. Okay, so the Gemara asks, so you're telling me then that you're allowed to have your animal stand there so that it will eat from it, and we don't make a gzera that you might then come to take with your own hands and give it to the animal. A person is allowed to have his animal stand on attached grass on Shabbos, and the animal can eat from it. So that the animal itself is not considered to be doing a malacha. The mechilta actually says on that, when it says in the pasuk, "Laman yonuach shorcha v'chamerecha," part of the niyocha, part of the rest that you give the animal on Shabbos is by allowing it to graze freely. Otherwise, that wouldn't be niyocha; it would be tsar for the behema if you said that it can't do that. If you prevented it from doing that. So as far as it doing a malacha, that's not a problem. As far as the question of whether that may lead you to go and pick grass to feed the animal, that we're not concerned about, because picking grass, everybody knows, is a malacha d'oraisa, and therefore we're not concerned that you're going to get careless and do that. So the animal will eat by itself and fine. But the ein mamid adam es behemte agave muktzah b'shabbos. But you're not allowed to do the same thing with food for the animal that is muktzah, because muktzah being only d'rabbanan, he may get careless and he may think that if the animal is allowed to eat from it, I'm also allowed to pick it up and feed to the animal. Well, it could be machmas chesor in case if you're planning to sell it. Well, it could be mukta, for example, if you decided to designate it, let's say, for that you're going to use it for making bricks, for example, and now you changed your mind and you want to. Not really, no. Yeah, not really. Then it would be more mukta machmas gufay, I think. Whatever. I mean, the point is, in other words, that you had that there was. Yeah. The point is, in other words, that. Yeah, the point is that we are concerned about when it comes to a din d'rabbanan, then he may get careless and do it. So why over here are we allowing the person to go and let his animal eat from this from this haystack between the chatzeres? We're on the face of it, as we said, one explanation why you can't take it yourself is because it's mukta. The answer is the koim la ba'ap of ozla v'ochel. You're right. The Mishnah doesn't necessarily mean that you can actually lead the animal there. What you do is you stand in the animal's way whenever it wants to go in a different direction, and therefore it winds up going and eating from the hay in the haystack. But so then you have the fact that you yourself have to do it in such an unusual way that the chacham are not going to be gozer to that extent that then you might forget and take from the straw yourself. Okay. Okay. So the question is, on the other hand, so you're telling me then, Rav Huna, that you're not allowed to put straw into the basket from this haystack. Vahatanya, bias shebein shtei chatzeres. We have a brisa that describes a case where you have a house between two chatzeres. So the exact scenario is the house we're going to see soon in the Gemara. It has a roof. It doesn't necessarily have walls. So the picture we have over here. The picture we have over here is where you have a middle house. We have three houses over here with a chotzer on each side of them. And you have the middle house has a haystack in it. And each of the two outer houses is open to the chotzer. The Ritva actually learns that the middle house over here doesn't necessarily have walls at all. The haystack in the middle serves as a wall between the houses on the between the two outer houses. So different than the picture, right? Anyway. So if you have this house over there, umilohu tevin, and the house over there is filled up with straw, ma'arvin shnayim ve'in ma'arvin echad, then the two chatzeres have to make separate eruvin, because again, the haystack in the middle house, remember, is what connects them, because that's how they can walk from one chatzer to another. So therefore, now it's filled up with hay. So therefore you can't make a joint eruv. They have to make separate eruvin, but the Braisa continues, Zen noisim l'seichu pasev yachil. From one side, they can come and put straw into a basket and give to their animal. Zen noisim l'seichu pasev yachil. And on the other side, they can do the same thing. Only if nismayet ha-tevin miyud-tvachim, if the pile of straw now gets to be less than 10 tvachim tall, and then it's not a mechitza anymore, then shneim asurim, now both of them are osur, because now you have the wall between the two chaseiros is down. So Kate said, "Who oisa? So what do you do in order to make it mutter to carry in the chotzer for the rest of Shabbos? Noyolos beisoy. One person over there. So you're not going to be able to make. You're not going to be able to make that both of them are going to be able to carry, because now the mechitza is down. And again, if this is if we don't say that hutra l'mitzvah Shabbos hutra l'kulai, fine. But so Kate said, "Oisa. So what do you do so at least one of them can be able to continue carrying the rest of Shabbos? Noyolos beisoy umavatolos rishusay. He one of them locks up his house, meaning his house that connects to the other chotzer." To the one chotzer, so he closes up his house and he's mevatel his rishus. We'll see on Amud Beis, why does he need to do both? Why does he need to lock his house and be mevatel his rishus? We'll get back to that. Who also a chaverim mutter? So now he'll be also to carry in that chotzer that his house is adjacent to for the rest of Shabbos. The other person will be mutter, because now you don't have joint bilus over it. V'chein ata oimer begoyv shel tevin shebein beis tchumei Shabbos. The same thing applies to a goiv of straw that is between two tchumei Shabbos. Rashi translates the word goiv as a burr, a pit. And we do actually find in some places in Nach where the word goiv seems to mean a pit over there. That said, Tosfos wonders why. Who cares whether the straw is in a pit? The same din would apply if the straw was in piles or whatever. So Tosfos says maybe goiv is maloshen gvava, which is like small pieces of straw. So goiv shel tevin would mean a pile of small pieces of straw. The Aruch and Rabbi Nachman over here instead have a girsa, not goiv, but niv, which means therefore a bundle of straw. Niv maloshen aniva, which is like when you make a bow tie. So a niv shel tevin would be then a bundle of straw. Whatever it is, the point is, if you have a similar kind of thing where you have straw between two tchumei Shabbos, so in other words, each city's tchum ends, let's say, in the middle of this pile of straw. So one side, the half of the pile of straw is just within their tchum, but the other half is outside it. And the same thing with the other side. So we're saying each side is able to, the people from each respective city are able to go on Yom Tov, obviously we're not talking on Shabbos, and take from the straw to feed their animals, and we're not concerned that they may end up carrying outside, we're not concerned they may end up carrying outside their tchum, or they themselves end up walking outside their tchum. Anyway, the point is, katoni mias, that's the b'raisa, so katoni mias, the bottom line is, we said in the b'raisa, that each side is allowed to take from the pile of straw in the middle house and put it in a basket and feed their animals. So we see you are allowed to actually put it in a basket. Why is Rav Huna telling us in the case of the haystack in our Mishnah that you can't, you can only have the animal eat from it itself? And the answer is Amri, they answered like this. Bias kiven de'ika mechitzis v'tikra, because when it comes to a house has walls and it has a roof. Or actually the wall, the mechitzis viz, in parenthesis over here, a number of Rishonim are not goyis it. And the Ritva points out, again, according to his understanding of the situation, the middle house does not have mechitzes. It only has a roof. But anyway, it doesn't matter. The mechitzes don't really make a difference for this one way or the other. The roof makes the difference. Ki mifchis, when the pile starts going down in size, minker le milsa, you can recognize it. You can notice you have the ceiling to compare it to. You're noticing it's getting further and further away from the ceiling. Therefore, you'll realize before it reaches below 10 tfachim and stop taking from it, and therefore not cause the mechitza to be broken down. Haha, but when it comes to so according to the two explanations in Rashi, again, we said before in Rashi, why is it that you can't, why is it that in the case of the haystack between the chatzeres, Rav Huna does not allow you to take from it yourself, only that the animal can eat from it? Number one, because the animal only eats from it gradually, so therefore there's less likelihood that it's going to become less than 10 tefachim during Shabbos. On the other hand, when you're taking yourself, you may take a large amount. The other reason is because it's mukta. And when we say it's mukta, it's really only the bottom 10 tfachim of it that are mukta, because the rest of it is not needed for a mechitza. So then when it's inside a building, when it's inside something that has a roof over it, neither of those considerations apply. You'll see when it's about to get less than 10. So therefore, you'll know to stop carrying in the chatzeres, unless you do bitul rishus. There's no problem that you yourself are going to take away so much that you'll make it less than 10, because again, you'll realize because you have the roof to compare it to that it's getting less than 10 and therefore I can't take any more. On the other hand, when the haystack is in the chotzer, you don't notice, you don't have a roof over it, you don't have anything to compare it with. So therefore, you're likely to keep on, you're not going to realize it got below 10 and you're going to continue carrying, or you're not going to realize that you're getting below 10 and you're taking straw from it and the straw is mukta. So therefore you wouldn't be allowed to take with your hands, but when it's inside the house, you would. Okay. Now let's analyze that braisa. First, let's deal with the rest of our Mishnah. We said Nismayat Tevin Ma'asara Tfachim Shnei Nasurin. Actually, we had in both the Mishnah and the Braisa, we had such cases. If the straw is less than 10 Tfachim, then we said, the Braisa, it said Shnei Nasurin. Both sides are also, again, we're talking about the case where the haystack was in the middle house over there, which both Chatzeres walk through that house in order to get from one to the other. And now that it's less than 10 Tfachim, you don't have a Mechitza between them. And now they're considered one big chotzer, and they didn't make one big eruv, so therefore they're both aser. So the Gemara says Shma mina ha asora shari. So the implication is, as long as the haystack in the middle house is 10 tefachim or more tall, then it's mutter. The afa gav the midalia tikra tova, implying even if the roof is much higher than that, even if the ceiling rather is much higher than that, you're still able to continue. It still works as a mechitza. Shmamina mechitzas shein magias the tikra shman mechitzas. Does that prove then that mechitzas that don't reach all the way up to the ceiling, which are temporary mechitzas, like we're talking about over here, a haystack, are still considered mechitzas? And we had a discussion previously in connection with the case where you had the groups of people who are staying in a tchaklin in a large building for Shabbos, where we discussed back and forth about this question of mechitzas shein magias latikra. And we didn't bring this braisa in that connection. So why not from this? But I said, it seems you can prove that. Also, Tosfos says that after all, if we paskin over there like Rabbi Yehuda HaSaber, and we said whether we paskin like him is a whole other question, but if we paskin like his understanding, that according to Beis Hillel, we say that even though the mechitzas don't reach the roof, they're not considered mechitzas, and therefore everybody can make a joint eruv, but that seems to be contradicted by this braisa over here. The answer is, what we're talking about over here is not that the house is any height. We're talking about the house is no more than 13, than it's no more than a drop less than 13 tefachim tall. So 12.9 tefachim, let's say. The tevin, asara, so as long as then you have a pile of straw 10 tefachim high, so it's within 3 tefachim of the ceiling, it's lovered. So therefore, we can consider as if it went all the way up to the ceiling. Rav Huna Bre de Rishua says it could even work if the house is only 10 tefachim tall. The tevin shiva umashu, the straw, the pile of straw itself is only 7 and a fraction tefachim tall. And that's fine. Again, the kolpachas mishloisha kolavod dummy, because less than 3 is considered like lavod. In other words, now Abaye is not going to accept that point, because he's going to say you need at least 10 tefachim of the actual mechitza itself. Then you can talk about lavud when it comes to it going all the way to the ceiling. Rav Huna Bre de Rishua is willing to use lavud even in order to create the height of the mechitza itself. Now, Tosfos points out that we learned back at the end of the first parak, we had an example where everybody agrees you use lavud to create the height of a mechitza. We had an example over there where you put ropes, where you tie ropes to stakes, where one rope, then less than 3 tefachim above it, another rope, and less than 3 tefachim above it, another rope, and the ropes themselves are more than a tefach in thick, in thickness between the 3 of them, and therefore that counts. So there we're using lavud. The difference is over there, that over there, all we need is for the mechitza to be 10 tefachim tall. There's no roof over there for it to reach to. Here we're dealing with the question, is a mechitza that doesn't reach the roof, is it considered a valid mechitza? That doesn't reach the ceiling, is it considered a valid mechitza? Abaya doesn't want to have that unless you have one or the other. Either the mechitza itself is 10 tefachim, you have to have, according to him, that the mechitza is 10 tefachim, and that then you can apply lavud to extend it all the way up to the ceiling, but not where you need lavud in order to actually make it that two things, that number one, the mechitza itself is not even 10 tefachim tall, and so you need lavud to create the mechitza itself, and you also need lavud in order to extend it all the way to the ceiling. Abaya doesn't like that idea, but Rav Huna Bre de Rishua is fine with it. Okay, so the Gemara asks, "Bishlema la Abaya hainu dekatoni me'asara." According to Abaya, we understand the Braisa says once the haystack gets to be less than 10 tefachim tall, then you have a problem, because according to Abaya, it needs to be 10 tefachim tall; otherwise, it's no good. But according to Rav Huna Bre de Rishua, that all you need is 7 tefachim and a little bit. So according to that, my me'asara, so what does the braisa mean when it says if it's less than 10 tefachim tall, then it's no good? According to him, it can be 7 and a little bit, and it's still good, as long as the ceiling is only 10 tefachim above the ground. The answer is my me'asara mitoras asara. The answer is, Rav Huna Bre de Rishua would say, the word asara in the braisa doesn't literally mean 10 tefachim. It means the dinim that apply to a 10 tefach wall. But in this particular case, that would be enough if it's 7 and a little bit, because then lavud makes it into 10. Okay, continuing with the braisa, we said shnei hanasurin. We said that if the haystack gets reduced below that amount, 10 tefachim according to Abaya, 7 and a little bit according to Rav Huna Bre de Rishua, then we said if the roof, so again, according to Abaya, the haystack is 10 and the roof is 12.9 or less. According to Rav Huna Bre de Rishua, the haystack is 7.1 and the roof is 10. Anyway, we said if the haystack gets to be less than that, we said shnei hanasurin. We said both of them are also to carry for the rest of Shabbos. So now, what does that mean? What happened to Shabbos Hoyova Hotra Hotra? Shmamina de Yurin Aboin B'Shabbos Asurin. Does that mean that if you have more residents over there on Shabbos, because in effect, what you had is before the beginning of Shabbos, the people on the other side of this haystack were not able to walk through because you had the mechitza in the way. So therefore, and therefore they were considered separate Rishuyas. Now in the middle of Shabbos, the haystack is gone, or it's less than 10 tefachim, or 7 tefachim, or whatever. Now in effect, you have, it's as if more people moved in over there and have Rishus over the house, and over the whole house. So does that mean that they aser? What happened to Shabbos Hoy over Hotra Hotra? Now Tosfos points out, when you have, let's say, for example, we had examples before We had examples in the previous perek where, yes, it asks. We had an example, for example, where a born yid and a ger are living together in one apartment or whatever, and then the ger passes away before, and then the ger passes away, and then we said that if somebody else takes possession of his property after Shabbos begins, because the ger passed away before Shabbos and it was available for the taking, therefore he asks. Fine, but in that case, you actually have a new Rishus that came to be that didn't exist before the beginning of Shabbos. Here you're talking about the same Rishuyas that were there before. Everybody who lives in the one chatzar and the other chatzar and the one house and the other house were living there before Shabbos. Now it's just the mechitza fell down. So does that mean that also the Braisa is saying it should be osur? The answer is no. The Gemara says, Dilma de imut me esmo. Maybe the Braisa means if before Shabbos it was reduced to less than 10, then they have to all of a sudden for that Shabbos, then they have to make a joint Eruv. They have to make one big Eruv between them. Otherwise, they're going to Aser. It doesn't necessarily mean that if this happened in the middle of Shabbos, that they should be also to carry for the rest of that Shabbos. They might actually be mutter too on the grounds that Hoyol v'Hotzer Hadra. Okay, we said in the Braisa, Ketzer u'Oisa Noyolus Beisim v'Atol Rishosai. We said, so what do you do in order to fix up the situation? You lock your house at one person, one of these two people who lives in the two side houses, closes up his house, and is Mevatol his Rishos. So the Gemara says, Tauti, why should he need to do both? Why does he need to, if the point is that he wants to be Mesalik himself, that he wants to say, I no longer belong to this Chatzar in order that I don't answer them, why do you need to lock your door and be Mevatol Rishos? Okay, the Gemara says, you're right, Hochikamar, Oy Noyola Space, Oy Mevatol Rishos. Okay, the Braisa means one or the other. You can lock the door, demonstrating that you don't plan to be considered part of that chatzah for the rest of Shabbos, or you're mevatel rishus, and that's that. The iboyesem la'olam tauti. Another possibility is you could say that in this case you do need both. When it comes to being matir for everybody else to carry, sure, you need either locking the door or being mevatel rishus. But here we're talking about he himself needs a harchaka. That he needs a harchaka that he doesn't accidentally carry into the chotzer, which he's been used to carrying into. So therefore, kiven d'doshbe, since he's used to all this time, he's been able to freely carry from his house to the chotzer next door to him. Also, the tartuli, he may come to do that on Shabbos. So Rashi says actually that this wouldn't just apply in this case over here. In general, Rashi says when a person is mevata rishus, they would also have to lock the door that leads to the chotzer or whatever it is in order to avoid that they don't end up carrying on Shabbos where they've been used to. So now Tosfos says, so what are you talking about? When we talked about in the previous perek, let's say, for example, we had the classic case of Bittul Rishus. You have a bunch of people in a chotzer. One person forgot to join in the Eruv. We say he can be Mevatel Rishus. What do you mean? If he locks his door, then he has to go in and out through the chotzer. So what do you mean? Yeah, you can't expect him to be locked up in his house all Shabbos. So Tosfos says, okay, maybe you could say, maybe Ne'ilas Delas in that case, according to Rashi, you could say that it means, in other words, he can't just leave his door open whenever he wants. When he needs to actually physically go out, then he can open the door. We're not going to keep him a prisoner in his house for Shabbos. But as soon as he leaves, he has to close the door. And that way it shows at least that his house is separated from. However, Tosfos says that no, that Tosfos disagrees with the whole concept. In this case over here, they never had to make an Eruv all this time because each chotzer was separated from the other. So I was saying before that they made separate Erevin and now you have a problem. No, so I misspoke. They never made Erevin all this time because all this time there was one house open into a chotzer on one side and one house open into a chotzer on the other side. There were no other houses, so they didn't need to. Now, all of a sudden, in the middle of Shabbos, the haystack is gone. And now you have a new status that they never had before, where now they need to make an Eruv. We're concerned. You're so used to carrying without making an Eruv Chatzeris, you might forget and carry into your Chatzer. No, they couldn't have made an Erev Shabbos because you had the haystack in the way, and therefore it was a mechitza between them. But in the case, in a regular case of somebody who's Mevatel Rishus, not necessarily do you need to lock the door because you always have. They always make an Eruv. It's okay, he forgot and didn't join in the Eruv, but they're used to the idea that without an Eruv, you can't carry. And even that, Tosfos says, even when we say over here we'd have to lock the door and be Mevatel Rishus, might only apply that first Shabbos. If that first Shabbos, once he did that first Shabbos, subsequent Shabbosim would be like the case of a chotzer where somebody forgot to make an Eruv, where plain Bittul Rishus without locking doors would be good enough. We said in the Mishnah, who also a chaverim mutter. We said once he does that, he locks the door and or does bitter rishus. Again, according to the first answer of the Gemara, you need one or the other. According to the second answer, you need both, which according to Rashi, you always need it, and according to Tosfos, only in this particular case. We said he's also to carry into his chatzar. The other person is mutter. So he must say pshita. Obviously, that's how bitter rishus works. The answer is loit tzricha dahadu iduchu batalei lechavrei. The chiddush of the braisa is what happens if the second person who received the bitul rishus, if then he turns around and is mevatel rishus back to the first one, which we talked about before. You have the case of mevatel v'chozer mevatel. You may have, in other words, so Reuven was mevatel rishus to Shimon in order to enable Shimon to be able to carry from his house to his chotzer and do whatever he needs. Now Shimon wants to return the favor and be mevatel rishus to Reuven, so that now Shimon will be usher for the rest of Shabbos to carry out to his chotzer, but Reuven will be able to his. We say no, the braisa is implying that doesn't work. The who also, he, Reuven, remains also for the rest of Shabbos, and the other one, Shimon, remains mutter for the rest of Shabbos. So the braisa wants us to know that you can't do that, you can't trade bittul back and forth. Now, we had a machlokas Rav and Shmuel about that in the previous perek. Rav had said that you could, Shmuel says that you can't. Our braisa is not a contradiction on Rav, because the Tosfos points out, actually, we learned over there that even according to Rav, there is in fact a machloikas tanoim on the subject whether mevatlin v'chozer or mevatlin. So good, this braisa could be according to the opinion that you can't. Rav is entitled to follow another braisa that says that you could. Okay. We said in the braisa of achenat ha'omer begoiv shal tevin shebein shnei tchumi Shabbos. We said the same thing applies to a pit or pile or bundle or whatever of straw that's between two tchumi Shabbos. That again, the idea is that each side can come and take straw from it, and we're not gozer that they might carry outside the tchum or walk outside the tchum themselves. So the Gemara asks Pshita, isn't that obvious? Obviously, Eid of a tchumin, tchum Shabbos is derabbanon. Eid of chatzeros is also derabbanon. If we say the din by Eid of chatzeros that they're allowed to take from the two sides of the haystack, why should it be any different when we're talking about tchumin? The answer is, the chiddush of the braisa is even according to Rabbi Akiva, drama tchum and da'oraisa, where he says that the tchum of 2,000 amas is da'oraisa. So therefore, ma'ud tema ligzo duma osil achlofi. So according to him, you're talking about this is a din da'oraisa. Maybe you should be afraid that he's going to end up carrying from a tchum that's not his own, and then he's being over on an iser da'oraisa. Kamash malon. Therefore, the braisa is telling us we're not worried about that. There is, by the way, a bit of discussion among the Achronim. Even the Minchas Chinuch, for example, talks about it. Does this Gemara mean that according to Rabbi Akiva, not only a person's own tchum is daraisa, but even the tchum of objects is daraisa? Because in effect, what we're saying over here, the problem is he might take from the other side, which is outside his tchum. He himself is not necessarily walking outside the tchum, but we're talking about, would we need to be gozer that he might take straw from outside the tchum? So does that mean maybe that Rabbi Akiva, if we say that Rabbi Akiva holds tchum and daraisa, does that mean that he would also hold that tchum of objects is also daraisa? Maybe, maybe not. Okay, Mishnah says, Kate said mishtafin b'mav. Okay, so now we're done with talking about the various scenarios of chaseris that are connected and aren't connected and are partially connected and whatever. Now we're going to start talking about the actual dinim of how you do an Eruv Chatzeres and how you do a Shittuf Avoyas in terms of collecting the food and what you do with the food. And the Mishnah starts off with Shittuf Avoyas because it's more of a Chiddush, basically. Ketzed Mishtatfen Mavoy, how do you make a Shittuf Mavoy? So one possibility, of course, is that you collect food from all the people. But another equally valid way is maniach hasachavis. You can put down a barrel of food of your own. You say, this belongs to all the people in the Mavui, like we do nowadays with a box of matzah when we make an Eruv Chatzeros, for example. Now, he has to be mezaket to them, because otherwise, as long as it's in his own reshus, then how does it belong to anybody else? So he has to be mezaket to them, and that has to be he can use for that purpose his grown-up son or daughter. In other words, he tells them, you take the chavis and acquire a share in it on behalf of everybody else in the Mavui, like we do nowadays when we make an Eruv Chatzeres or an Eruv Tafshilin or whatever, where we give it to somebody else and we tell them, And you tell them that I'm being mezakeh through you to everybody. So it works through his older son and daughter, va'alidei avde v'shevchasei ivrim, and also works with an eved ivri or an amah ivriya, va'alidei ishtoi, or his wife, because all of them are considered independent. Now, you have now as far as this, you have a machloikas rishonim on this point. Now, you have a Gemara in Bav Metzia in a different context when it's talking about the dinim of a Metzia. If a child finds something, who does it belong to? Does it belong to them or does it belong to their father? So the Gemara mentions over there that, according to Rabbi Yochanan, that when we say, when we distinguish there between Gadol and Katan, we don't literally mean whether they're over Bar or Bas Mitzvah or under it. The real distinction is, are they Samuch al Shulchan Aviv? Are they dependent on their father's table where they eat there all the time? If they do, then even if they're physically an adult, they're still considered a katan. And if they don't, you can have a katan who has an independent, income of his own or whatever, and eats on his own, separate from the father. So then he'd be considered a gadol for this purpose. Tosfos says that the same thing would apply over here. That the, when you want to be mezakeh to other people, it would mean it would have to be somebody who's not samoch al shulchanai. So it's one thing, in other words, when it comes to the amah ivriya or to the amah ivriya, Tosfos says a couple of possibilities. Number one, you're not feeding her for free; she's working for you, and therefore in return. That'll be abdish v'chazan. Right. Okay. Yeah. Fine. So let's finish the Mishnah. And then Aval ain't mezakeh lo yadei bnei b'tachtanim. You cannot be mezakeh to them through your minor son or daughter. V'lo yadei avde b'shivchasei knanim, or through your eved knani or shivcha knanis. B'nei sheyadon ki yadei, because their hand is like yours, so they haven't been mezakeh. So again, going back to now to the Tosfos over here. So if we say that it has to be not somebody who is literally physically an adult, but rather it depends whether there's samoch al shulchanai. So what does that do with the amah ivriya? She's also samoch al shulchanai. And by definition, an amah ivriya is a ktana, because once she becomes a naira, she goes free. So the answer is, so Tosfos gives a couple of answers, one of them being she's samoch al shulchanai. She is eating there, but not that you're feeding her for free. You're feeding her because she's working for you, because she's your amah ivriya. Or another explanation, Tosfos says, is that there's a difference between your own children versus anybody else. If you have somebody else, even if they're not working for you, you're feeding them for free, we can still say they have their own independent ability to be zoicha on behalf of other people, but not where it's your own children and you're feeding them by your table. Anyway, that's all according to Tosfos. There are other, and as far as the wife, Tosfos also discusses, are we talking about that the Gemara mentions in a Gemara in Nedarim that seems to imply that it would have to, at least according to one mandama over there, that would be talking about where she actually has her own independent house in the Mavoi, so she's Zoicha on behalf of herself, therefore she can be Zoicha on behalf of everybody else as well. Tosfos goes and then draws distinctions between whether the husband actually gives her food or whether he gives her money and she goes and spends it and gets her own food. Anyway, all of this is according to Tosfos. There are other Rishonim who learn that no, it's strictly a definition of gadol or katan, literally in the regular sense, whether they're over bar or bas mitzvah or whether they're not. In Shulchan Aruch, it brings both deis, and it says, ideally, therefore, you should be machmir like both possibilities. So then you should make sure that the one through whom you're mezakeh your eruv, if it's going to be one of your own children, should be one who is a gadol and that he's not samoch al shulchanai, he's not eating by your table, and then it'll work according to everybody. If you don't have a choice, then you can be soimich on the deis lekula and say that would work even with a katan who isn't samoch al shulchanai, or even with a gadol who is samoch al shulchanai. But ideally, you should have somebody else do it. Lamaisa, what we try to do, of course, is we usually have some neighbor be zoichin and on behalf of everybody else. Okay. So the Gemara says, Amar of Yehuda, chavis shal shitufei mevoyis, the barrel that's being used like this, where you're being mezakeh the barrel to everybody else for shitufei mevoyis, tzorech lag bia min hakarka tefach. You have to lift it up one tefach from the ground. Rashi explains, we're talking about over here again, where you're being mezakeh. If you don't pick it up a tefach off the ground or off the surface where it was, then it's not considered you weren't koine. Tosfos points out, usually in most places, we say you actually need three tefachim. Right. But over here, by its eruv, here it's eruv, so we're mekel. On the other hand, Well, maybe that also. But no, because the Gemara actually mentions in connection in Kedushin, the Gemara talks about how you kona an elephant. And the question is in connection with Hagbah over there. So the Gemara discusses over there, maybe you can like put some branches up there and force the elephant to have to jump up to get it or whatever. And that's a whole other question, whether elephants can jump. But anyway, the point is that the point is, even there, we seem to say three tefachim, but over here we're saying one tefach is enough because it's only dirabanan, because shittur from voice is only dirabanan, and therefore we're mekel. There's a whole different explanation, though, that the Rashba and the Rambam and a number of other Rishonim bring. We're not just talking about where you're mezaka. We're saying, in general, the barrel that you're designating for shittur from voice, whether you're talking about that the food in it you were mezaka to everybody else, or whether you're talking about that you collected the food from everybody else, you have to place that barrel one tefach higher than all the other ones in order that it'll be distinguishable. Otherwise, you have a whole bunch of barrels over there in your storage house. It's not going to be noticeable which one is the eight of which one is the shittur from vayis. So you have to place it a tefach higher than the other ones.
Oh, just permanent.
Yeah. Amar Rava. So Rava says in this connection, Hani Tauti Mili Savid Pumbadis Amunu. You should know that there are two dinim that the elders of Pumbadisa said, which means Rabbi Yehuda and his yeshiva, that they said.
Really?
Yeah, Rashi brings from a Gemara in Sanhedrin, the end of the first parak in Sanhedrin. The Gemara explains over there, you have a number of phrases like this that are used in Shas. You have this, you have Mechaku Allah B'ma'arava, you have a number of it, you have Amri Beirav and whatever, and the Gemara explains for each one of them what it means, which Amoro, which group of Amoroim it refers to. So here it means Rabbi Yehuda and his yeshiva, Rabbi Yehuda by Yecheskel, who was the Rosh Yeshiva in Pumbadisa. Yeah. Anyway, so Rava says, you should know, these two dinim, Rabbi Yehuda and his yeshiva said, Chodaha, one is the din we just said about it having to be lifted up a tefach. Again, lifted up a tefach in order to be makne, in order to be zoiche for everybody else, according to Rashi and Tosfos. A tefach higher than the other barrels in order to be distinctive, according to the Rashba and the Rambam. The idach, and another din that Soved de Pumbadisa said is hamakadish, when a person makes kiddush, im tam meloy lugmov, if he tastes from the wine meloy lugmov, which means the amount that if you put it into one cheek would fill up his cheek, which is most of a revius. It's not quite a full revius, but it's most of a revius. Yotze, then he's yotze kiddush. Vim lav lo yotze, if not, then he's not yotze. You have poskim who say that maybe it doesn't mean that he himself has to drink it. It might be good enough if somebody else drinks maloy logmov. Might be that even you could have one person drinks a little bit, and another person drinks another little bit, and it adds up to maloy logmov. Okay, so though that's another din that Rabbi Yehuda and his yeshiva said. Amr of Chaviva, so Rav Chaviva says there's another one. Honami sovid de pumbadis amrinu. Here is another din that sovid de pumbadisa said. The Amr of Yehuda Amr Shmuel, Oisin Medura Lachaya B'Shabbos. You're allowed to make a bonfire for a woman who just gave birth. You're allowed to make a bonfire for her on Shabbos because the cold can be very dangerous for her. Sovomina, now they thought when Rabbi Huda says this, means lachaya in lacholaloi, that would only mean for a woman who just gave birth, but not for a regular sick person. Maybe the cold is not as harmful for them. They can just put on an extra sweater or something. And maybe this only applies during the winter, not during the summer when it's hot anyway. But itmar, but they said, no, amr of chiba oven amashmul, hik is dam benitzdanin. Also, if a person had bloodlet and now he's chilly, then they can make a bonfire for him on Shabbos, and that would apply even if it's in Tekufas Tammuz, which is the hottest part of the year, because again, the cold could be dangerous for him. Most of the poskim say then that this applies to any chola sheyesh by sakana. There are, the Rambam seems to say that it applies, that still we apply it only to a woman who just gave birth and a person who just had bloodletting, because for them, the cold is particularly dangerous. For other people, you could have a goy do it, or they could put on an extra sweater or whatever, but yeah. Amema says there's another din that Sovet de Pumbadisa said. De Itmar, we have a discussion. Ezohi Asherah Stam. What is a Stam Asherah? In other words, obviously, if you see people worshipping a tree, then we know that it's an Asherah, and it's also Bahana, and you have a mitzvah to destroy it. But if you have Stam a tree, you don't know one way, you haven't seen people worshipping it. How do you know that it's an Asherah? So Rav says, when you see that priests or whatever of Avodah Zarah are guarding the tree and they don't eat from the fruit of it. So why are they guarding it and not eating from the fruit? Pashtus, because they're worshiping it. Or Shmuel Amar, Shmuel says a different definition. Kegoin de Amri, even if they do eat the fruit, but Kegoin de Amri, Hani Tamri, Lashikra de Ben Nitzrafi. These dates, for example, let's say it was a date palm tree, so we're reserving these dates, Lashikra de Ben Nitzrafi. We plan to make from them beer that will be drunk at the on the Chaga of Nitzra and Ben Nitzrafi at the house, meaning the church of Nitzrafi, which is the name of a local of a Dezara, the Shasole Biem Chagam. We will drink it over there on our Chaga. So then we know that this is an Asherah, because this is what they do with an Asherah, is they reserve the fruit of it for that purpose. And Omer HaMemer, V'Omer Li Sovah D'Pumbedisah, Hilchasah Kavaseh D'Shmuel. So HaMemer is saying that the Sovah D'Pumbedisah, Rabbi Yehuda and his Yeshiva, said the Halacha is like Shmuel. So it doesn't have to be that they never eat the fruit. It can also be where they reserve it for making beer for their Chaga, and they're going to drink it at their church. And then that also is considered an Asherah, even though we never saw them actually worshiping the tree itself. Okay, so those are four dinim altogether that Sava Dipomodissa said. Shkoyach, everyone.